Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hey now, Semper Fi. Welcome into this Friday edition of Sports Talk here on WWL, AMFM.com, and the Odyssey app. Charlie Long at Master Control on Sports Flash, taking your calls on our Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text lines at 504-260-1870. As you heard in the Sports Flash with Charlie, LSU dominated Vanderbilt last night in the opening game of the series. 13-2, 16 hits, 5 big flies. And the two hit by Cade Doty were melted. And, of course, Dylan Cruz, I mean, he's been consistent all year long. But it's good for this offense. A, you got Jacob Berry back in the lineup a little bit last night as a right-handed hitter. Early in the year, Cade Doty was on fire. He was in fuego. And he cooled off, but he's getting back in the thing, back in the thick of things and back to that big, powerful stroke that he has. There was you started to get a little bit of a look at it, a glimpse at it, in the series against Ole Miss. And he didn't do much offensively, but he barreled up some baseballs right at some Ole Miss defenders, and you could tell eventually they were going to start falling, and he was going to start really getting a hold of the baseball. He did last night. So LSU takes the opening game of the series, puts them at 15-13 in the SEC, drops Vanderbilt to 14-14 in the Southeastern Conference. Overall, LSU's 35-18. And if they win tonight, that would give them 16 wins within the conference. If they end up sweeping Vanderbilt, that would be 17 wins, 17-13. But say Vanderbilt comes back and gets one, right, of the next two. Well, that would put LSU at 16-14. I think it's hard to see LSU potentially hosting a regional at that point. I think 17-18 wins are potential, the watermark. 17 wins in the regular season, maybe one in the SEC tournament. A lot of variables still at play for LSU, though. Two more games against a very, very, very tough Vanderbilt squad. I also want to get back to name, image, and likeness. You know, I'm thinking about this, and look, I was for the principle of name, image, and likeness, but the way it's being managed is difficult to really be on board with. Because, okay, that player's under scholarship, and NIL, he makes $400,000 or $500,000. Now let's be real, okay? This is also, and I know it. This is basically, this is capitalism, the haves and the have-nots. Well, it's going to be predominantly football players that are making money more so than maybe, a female basketball player or a men's track and field athlete. But to me, what I want to know from the audience is, would you be okay with name, image, and likeness if they had to pay for their education? In other words, okay, I'll sign this NIL deal, but I waive my scholarship, tuition, assistance, whatever they're under. 504-260-1870. Tell me, would you rather that? Take the NIL, but forego the scholarship. There's a school of thought that might be something that people consider. 504-260-1870. We'll step away and come back to Cajun Cannon. Bobby Hebert will join us next here on Sports Talk on WWL.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on Sports Talk, LSU Baseball, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock, first pitch, game two tonight against Vanderbilt in Nashville. We welcome in now the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And Bobby, look, we'll start with LSU Baseball. 13-2, they hit 5 home runs in the win last night over Vandy.
Right. Yeah, now this is interesting, Christian. Peter Burns of the SEC Network, you know, he's a host on there. And he said, really, when you break it down where we're at right now going forward, that pitching is what carries the team through the postseason even more than offense. But if you do have the hitting, and I would take one or the other and to even have a chance. But the one thing, like, he even broke down and talk about all the home runs that LSU hit against Vanderbilt. And he went on to say it doesn't do any good to host without frontline pitching. But almost everybody outside of Tennessee this year has been able to find two solid starters. So I think that's where the SEC is at right now. And that's why I think it's wide open, because when you look, like you said, who has two solid starters that you can count game in and game out? And you say besides Tennessee, that's really not the case. For instance, you look at Vanderbilt. They find a stronger rotation as of late. Devin Fertrell, he was a midweek starter, and they put him, you know, on the weekend. And so you don't know, Christian. It's kind of like game to game, and then you have a crucial area that could set you back. But the one thing I was a little worried about is how aggressive Vanderbilt on the base pass, and they had stolen 41 attempts, 41 bases this season. All in all, that's pretty aggressive, and that's
keep them off the bases.
That's kind of unheard of. What's that?
If they keep them off the bases like they did last night, it's not a threat.
Right. Yeah.
Because look, Bobby, once LSU got up by that big lead, even when they got runners on, they knew they needed base runners because they need runs, so they weren't as aggressive.
Yeah, and that's it. So I think you get off to a great start, build on that momentum, and boy, that has to be a big feather in their cap, you know, a cap to getting off, come up with a big win, and win two in a row. And then, you know, obviously you have a chance to sweep if you're able to do that.
All right, shifting gears over to the NBA. Series tied 1-1 between the Heat and the Celtics, along with the Mavericks and Warriors, and Golden State leads that series 1-0. Who do you like to finish out of each of these final four remaining teams?
Well, the only thing is that it's not over till it's over. But what I've observed is that look at Dallas. Who knows? The next game, they could blow out Golden State or at home. I think this postseason I've seen more like one team wins by 20 points. In the very next game, the other team wins by 20 points. You know, it's not necessarily, you know, going down to the wire. And so, for instance, I look at the Celtics, how they bounce back against the Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler. You know, they're now 4-0 after losses in the playoffs, winning those bounce-back games by an average of basically 15 points and getting three of those victories on the road. So I don't know, Chris. It's like it's hard to figure out. The one thing I know, and I think I mentioned this in the middle of the week, is that if you look and you play defense, everyone knows about the three-point shot, but both Dallas, you look at the Mavericks and the Celtics, Dallas was second to Boston in the fewest points allowed per game in the regular season. And if that's about as good as it gets for Dallas in team history, you know, only giving up when you think about it, which is kind of unheard of because all the points scored, the Celtics, you know, it's basically the same. They've given up 104.5 points a game, and the Mavs 104.7. So that's why I don't think you can count the Celtics or the Mavs out, simply because how they play defense. Now, Luka, his supporting cast, I think he's always going to bounce back when you think like, oh, well, he had a poor game. He cannot afford to have that. Well, he showed that against the Suns that you never know. It was kind of like feast or famine, and who knows, it might end up being like that against the Warriors. But I truly think it's wide open right now. I think any four of the teams, whether it's the Celtics, the Heat, the Warriors, or the Mavs can win it all.
Bobby, how much did you see of the Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher exchange? And basically, Nick called out Jimbo Fisher, saying that he bought this recruiting class, and really, Nick was just, I think he's paranoid.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Nobody has clean hands. Everybody knows each other's business. Then all of a sudden you get ticked off and you start ratting on one another. I mean, that's what I think it's all about. That, hey, you know, if you get offended by words and I always say, like, you really shocked or offended by Jimbo Fisher calling Nick Saban a narcissist? I can tell you right now, most starting quarterbacks and high-profile coaches or athletes, they're all narcissists. You have to have some, not to be controlled, you have to have some narcissism in you or you cannot lead men. Come on, Napoleon Bonaparte? I mean, Nick Saban's not called little Napoleon for nothing. Just look throughout history. So, I mean, like, I don't know if Jimbo was trying to offend Nick by saying that, even calling him a czar. I mean, I don't know. If you're the czar, that means you're the king. Who's more the king in college football than Nick Saban? So I think it's much about nothing now with all this name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal that it's kind of free fall. And sometimes Nick Saban's a little insecure about that because maybe and look at A&M playing the game, having the top recruiting class. So, to be truly offended and they take it personal. Because you know what it's almost like? You were in love at one time, you know, Jimbo and Nick and all, and they together, you're in love at one time, and then you break off, and it's kind of like, it's a divorce that no one wants to be a part of. It's kind of like Johnny Depp. Look at reality TV now, Johnny Depp and his ex-wife. Who's the better actor, is having their cause about what's going down?
I can't watch it, Bobby. Bobby, I can't watch that. It's so grotesque. I know, but it's so grotesque. I'm just like, oh, gosh. I just don't even want to hear about it because it's disgusting.
Well, yeah, but they wouldn't put on TV if people weren't watching, though, Chris.
Oh, I know.
But that's why, to me, it's much about nothing. I think it makes it more interesting if you don't have a dog in the hunt. Are you intrigued now to watch A&M play Alabama for the years to come and how they interact with one another?
I mean, yeah, you know, A&M's a 16-point dog in that game as it stands right now.
Right, and you know, whether it be Saban or Jimbo Fisher, I think either one would not be calling the dogs off in this matchup if they had the upper hand.
Preakness, Bobby, this weekend, you put any coin on any of the horses?
No, I'm actually, because like I said, I'm out visiting my granddaughters, my second daughter, Cammy. I'm in California. We're at Disneyland, so if you heard the riverboat with the horn going by, so it's 2:20 in the afternoon, but I kind of welcome the weather. I come out here, it's 62 degrees right now, and, you know, it's mid-May right now in Louisiana. It feels like mid-July, but, you do have a big race coming up in Baltimore, the Preakness, the 147th. Preakness Stakes, and stakes, and if I'm not going with, because there's association with the fairgrounds and you all and Steve Asmussen, Epicenter being the favorite, I kind of, look at someone that you're familiar with and he's had success, Dwayne Lucas, the trainer, 86 years of age, and his horse, the Philly Secret O, and the Hall of Fame trainer, trying to go for a record tying 7th victory and the second jewel of the Triple Crown. So I think that could be interesting. So I'm kind of looking at if it would come about with Secret Oath, could become the 7th filly to win the Preakness, but it's going to have to beat, obviously, the Derby runner-up, who's the favorite, Epicenter. But it's happened before that would put her, that being Secret Oath, in the company of the likes of the 2009 champion, Rachel Alexandra, and Swiss Skydiver, who beat Authentic in the race in 2020. And that's going to be interesting, that if a filly has a chance to come out on top. But I'm kind of going with, I guess familiar names is Dwayne Lucas and Steve Atchison. Since, you don't have no Bob Baffert, but they always have a horse coming up, some association with Bob Baffert, and him being the two-time Triple Crown winning trainer, not in the mix, but, he still has a horse that is part of his group, even though you can't count him in that number. I'm trying to think, Arrogant. Yeah, that has a horse that's, No, it's not that. No, Armagnac. That's it. Armagnac. That's the horse. That's Tim Yankton. The trainer that's associated with Bob Baffert. So, I'm kind of interested to see what their horses do because the humans associated with them, horse fans familiar with. So, see if they can come out on top.
Bobby at Disney, huh?
Yeah, I'm at Disney. I just got off Space Mountain. And, then I kind of went old school, Christian, you remember rides when you were growing up, because think about, if I can recall the top of my head, because you'd always watch every Sunday night, the Wonderful World of Disney, they'd have a movie on and they show the fairy by the castle. And then all of a sudden, I can't even think of the ride now, the roller coaster that's in the Alps. That's Space Mountain. I'm going to think of it anyway. So just doing a different ride. And the Pirates of the Caribbean is not open, so I think they fixing that up. And I think we're in the New Orleans area. Mine's right now. We're just eating lunch, the French Quarter. But, so we're having a good time with the grandkids and just hanging out. But I can't believe this. I just rode the ride. I know I got hit in the head too many times. It's not a Disney World. It's at Disneyland, and it has the Yeti. It has the Yeti, the Abominable Snowman, and it's a famous.
I can't help you, Bobby. I haven't been to Disneyland. I've never been to Disneyland.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask this. Excuse me. What is the roller coaster ride in the Alps? What is it called?
Matterhorn.
The Matterhorn. I cannot believe.
Matterhorn.
I'm like doing a radio show with a local tourist. The Matterhorn. Yeah, that's old school. That's like from the 1950s. And when you think about being invented, that was, basically 25 years before Disney World. So, yeah, having a good time with the granddaughters. And, boy, the weather's cooperating. Like I said, Christian, don't be envious, but it's like 62 degrees right now. It's awesome. No humidity.
Hey, look, I'd take some of that, that's for sure. Bobby, go enjoy your time.
Okay, thank you, man. Talk to you later.
All right.
Okay, goodbye.
Bobby's a better man than me. Disney's a no-go for me, period. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line for Dr. Nick and Amy. Go ahead, Dr. Nick. You're on WWL.
Christian, how you doing?
I'm good. You don't call enough, Dr. Nick. You don't call enough, man.
What's that?
You don't call enough.
Well, I listen to y'all every day, and I'm listening last night. Starting this year, I did my 23rd fundraiser, 23rd annual fundraiser for baseball. So I'm into baseball as much as I'm into football. But I'm going to tell you, watching this team this year, I think Coach Johnson's done a great job considering he hadn't recruited any of these kids yet. And it's tough the first year. But I'm going to tell you, this team can hit with anybody. They're inconsistent at times. And everybody's mentioned their starting pitching. Mikael Hilliard has really come on. He's legit. I think that their Achilles is that one or two other starters. They got kids that can flat out throw the ball, but listen, they pitch better when they have leads. They're young kids. Okay, their bullpen is solid, and I watching Vanderbilt last night. I think they've been a little more focused than they've been the last 2 weeks. But I'm gonna tell you something. I think and don't hold me to this, but I think they're going to win tonight, and they're going to win two out of three. I wouldn't be surprised if they swept Vanderbilt because the pressure's on them. Their RPI, they're on the bubble right now for a regional, but they're still the fourth team in the second in the West. They're the fourth team in the SEC. If they can just win the series with Vanderbilt, they can really help themselves by sweeping it. Every game in that tournament, you're potentially playing a ranked team because the SEC is that good this year. Every game they can win in that tournament will elevate their RPI. I'm going to tell you right now, if they get to the championship game, they don't have to win it. They're in.
No.
I think if they get to the semifinal game, they're in.
Okay, Dr. Nick, let's go by your scenario. You feel like they're going to sweep, they could sweep Vanderbilt. That would give them 17 conference wins. They would only need to win one game in the SEC tournament to pretty much lock themselves.
But look, the NCAA committees, these guys can be a little wacky sometimes. I'm just saying, the farther they can go in that tournament, and I mean, listen to me. I think LSU is a dangerous team. They can hit with anybody. You get in that tournament and you're Tennessee and you're supposed to do something. I've been over the years, I've seen Skip's teams, I've seen Palmieri's team. You get a team in there that has nothing to lose with their talent, they're dangerous. And they can win some games.
Dr. Nick, are you telling me that you feel like LSU could beat Tennessee?
I think, look, Christian, Tennessee's got some great hitters. But I just think they got to come down to earth a little bit. The last team I saw do that was 1997 Skip Bertman, and that's when they hit 194 home runs. I mean, they had 11 home runs last night. I just don't think how that team can sustain that. Now, they don't do it every game, okay? I think head-to-head, all I'm saying is I've watched this league for years, okay? You get them out of Tennessee – I think it's even, okay?
Wait. Hold on, Dr. Nick.
Yes,
you think LSU and Tennessee are even or getting them away from?
I don't mean an RPI, nothing like that. All I'm saying is when you got it in the tournament time, hey, in tournament just does things to people. All I'm saying is the only chance LSU would have to beat Tennessee, number one, is getting them out of Tennessee. And all I'm saying is, in a tournament like this, with LSU's offensive talent, okay, you don't know what kids are thinking. If you take the pressure off of them, you know, and let them have fun, they're just a dangerous team. It's still baseball.
Dr. Nick, while I would agree that they can certainly, I'll go a step further. I think LSU is capable of beating Tennessee one time. But not beating them in a series, a 2 out of 3 super regional.
Oh, no. I agree with that. I agree with that, Christian.
Won't happen.
All we need to do right now is. Oh, okay.
However, I think that this team and the way that they get on fire at the plate is up and down. We've seen it all year long. And their defense is below average. As you pointed out, Mikael here has been really good. He was very good last night. But if he can't throw his curveball for strikes, he gets run out of the game. The other thing is,
I agree
with you about the bullpen. LSU's strength of their pitching staff is out of the pen. I don't think LSU has enough firepower to eventually get into a super regional and beat a team 2-1. If you look at super regional contests, typically – 2 out of 3 games, at least, are decided by 1 or 2 runs. Typically.
Chris, I agree. But the only thing with a regional, first thing you got to do at this level of play, you got to host your own regional. Once you get out of a regional, listen to me, last year, 3 out of the final 8 never got out of their own super regional. Then you got to hope, okay, that the team that you paired with loses. And I've seen that many times over the years. You got to have a little luck. You got to be good, but you got to have a little luck, okay? If this man ever got to Omaha, I think he's done more the first year than anybody's done. I think he's done a great job considering. I'm seeing what he can do with his own talent next year. But all I'm saying is the team is got talent. on any given day, they can beat you. You just never know what times which team's going to show up.
They're 1 year away from being a really, really, really good team because you're going to lose Jacob Berry.
I agree with that.
You're going to lose Jacob Berry. He's a draft eligible sophomore, but Dylan Cruz is coming back for his junior year. You're going to have Trey Morgan, Josh Pearson. I mean, you know, the talent's there. Cade Doty, I believe, is also a draft eligible sophomore. I got to double check on that, but my point is, you're still going to have Dylan Cruz and Trey Morgan, and this kid Joe Bear is something else as well. So I think they're a year or two away.
Yeah, he's got Pearson, he's got Stevenson. He's one recruiting class away, mm-hmm. and he can go along. I think he's done great the first year. I think next year he could be very dangerous.
I agree. I think Jay Johnson's from what he inherited to what he's turned out. I mean, I think he's done a really good job, and I think the long game is what's important for LSU fans to focus on. The long game.
I just think it's going to be interesting to watch them the rest of the year because I'm just anxious to see how far they can go.
Yeah, well, we're about to find out. Dr. Nick, thanks.
I think I appreciate it.
All right, Dr. Nick, NAME, always a LSU baseball fan. Enjoy my conversations with Dr. Nick about LSU baseball. We'll get some of your texts when we return here. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. All right, back here on Sports Talk, we'll hand things off to the LSU Sports Radio Network at 5:30. First pitch between LSU and Vanderbilt in Game 2. LSU took care of business last night in Game 1, belting 5 home runs and a score of 13-2, winning Game 1 over the Commodores. Charlie Long at Master Control, what's up on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text lines?
Bunch of talk about the NIL that we were talking about earlier, but one of the best texts that I've seen so far about LSU baseball, I couldn't agree more, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde bunch.
Yeah, they're up and down. We've talked about that. We said that from day one in the conference when we saw that first series against Texas A&M, and they didn't win. And, you know, we've seen this. It's been their ID. It's been their DNA pretty much all season long. Tonight, they could come out and completely stink it up. You know, they could get 4 hits and, you know, boot the ball around a little bit, and who knows? That's the frustrating part about LSU baseball in particular, because – you can't go to the radio or the TV and know what to expect. You can't go, all right, we're going to see them pound away a little bit. They might not. They might field the ball cleanly. They might not. So when you operate in the land of they might, then you're kind of flipping a coin. They're almost 500 in the SEC, 50-50. I mean, they're 15-13, but who knows? If they lose these last 2 games against Vanderbilt, that would put them at 500. I mean, this team has gone up and down all year long, and we've talked about it and said that would be their identity pretty quickly. All right, would you rather with me and Charlie next hour? Again, our conversations, our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines are open at 504-260-1870. Would you be fine with NIL if the players paid for their education? 504-260-1870. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.